Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
The root system of a tree is what holds it in place, keeps it stable, and provides strength and nourishment. Friend, how's your root system doing? Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we're going to study Rooted in Christ. Stay with us. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every other part of your life is impacted negatively. Your root system is what holds you in place when storms come and trials and difficulty. Your root system is what draws nutrients into your life and provides spiritual strength and stability and hope. And friend, the Bible says we're to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and as we begin a new year, we're beginning with a new series, Rooted in Christ. I hope you'll take a moment to visit online, dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find on the website a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell that will help you become more rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ in the new year. You'll find links to lots of other resources that will help you to grow spiritually, and much more information about Pastor Chappell and his ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Well, now we invite you to open your Bible to Colossians chapter 2 and Psalm 1 as we study Rooted in Christ.
Notice secondly, we got to hurry. Notice secondly, the prevention of spiritual roots. Now, this is what I got to tell you on the first Sunday. I need to let you know that if you want your life to go deep in Christ, the devil's going to try to cut that off at the pass. He's going to try to prevent this from happening. He doesn't want you becoming a man of God. He wants you to be a wimp. He wants you to be a tumbleweed Baptist. He wants you to float back to wherever you've come from. He wants you to just float right on back. He wants you to get discouraged and melancholic. He doesn't want you firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. He wants to fight you. Now, in my backyard this past spring, I planted a garden, and it was pretty good. The best garden we ever had. I mean, it's the first time since we've lived in the Antelope Valley we actually got sweet corn that you could eat for dinner. In the past, it's been sweet corn, but when you open the husks, it was just, there wasn't any corn in it. It was just cornless corn. This year, we had corn on there, and we had various carrots and radishes, and it was awesome. I mean, they were coming up. I was so excited. And I'd take my wife out there and take my grandson out, and we'd look at it and pull a few weeds. But suddenly, a problem developed. The problem was primarily in the form of a pack of squirrels. Vicious, ungodly, demonic squirrels. Because everywhere that I had gotten on my hands and knees and cultivated this little row and put these little seeds in there and packed it all down and watered it so meticulously, the squirrels burrowed under with stealth-like precision tunnels. And as soon as those carrot roots would get to a certain depth, all of a sudden I'd go out and a whole section of them would be gone. And then I began to see them popping their heads up, and it seemed like as I'd look out my back window, they would look at me and go, ha, 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 something like that, you know. And I'm telling you right now, the war was on. I mean, you don't mess with a man's garden. That's just all there is to it. And I tried to wait for them with a hoe. I tried garden hoses. I mean, I was just, and finally one of the godly men of our church said, I'll tell you what you need traps. Man, that was awesome. If you ever wonder what works really well, you put a little piece of watermelon in there. And you set that trap, and those squirrels would go in there, and you say, Pastor Chappell, Did you kill those squirrels when they got in the trap? What are you going to do, call PETA? Actually, I did not kill them. They killed themselves. They would get in those traps. They'd just run around and run around and run around in there, and they'd beat their head up against the wall like an angry Baptist woman. Just, that's your commercial. Just bringing you back in here. Seriously, those squirrels would just just kill themselves. That's what they did. But you know, I'm telling you, to be honest with you, we still haven't won that battle. They're sleeping right now, but they're going to come back. And what I know is that whenever you try to grow anything, there's something trying to get at the root. I went into our little shed in the backyard the other day, and we were putting away some Christmas things, and right in the corner, I saw a decomposing squirrel. My first thought was, hallelujah, hallelujah. That was my first thought. I saw it there. It was bones and fur, and it was just there. And I don't know how or why it chose to go to heaven from that place right there, but it was laying there. I'm not kidding you, not far from it was a whole stash of different things. There was corn. There were apricot seeds, peach seeds from the orchard. And that little squirrel had been taking all those things over there. And all of that just going to the root and grabbing whatever it could grab. Now, the devil does not want you getting rooted and grounded in Christ. So I want to tell you a couple of things you need to be aware of, things that will prevent your roots from going down. First, the culture of the world. The culture of this world. Stuff that you think is so innocent. Stuff that you hear and see at work or on television. Stuff that doesn't, you just don't know what's so wrong with it. You know, show me in the Bible where you can't do that. And it's just, oftentimes it's the culture itself. So look at what it says in verse 8. Beware. Can you say that word with me? Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware. Now, we're to beware of the culture of the world. And there's a warning here, isn't there? Beware. And look at the four key words very quickly in verse 8. There is the word beware, which means to be alert to the dangers. And the dangers at Colossae were things like mysticism, Gnosticism, the belief that there might be a God, but we don't know where. There were dangers in their philosophical thinking there in Colossae, and he was warning them about the cultural trends of their day. Then he uses the second word, spoil. And the word spoil there means to carry away. Just like that squirrel had spoiled some corn and some apricots and some other things, and he had carried them away, the world wants to carry you away. Just like someone who may have been in the choir, just like this tree singing away or playing in the orchestra or working in the nursery or sitting on the fifth row of church, and suddenly they're not there anymore. They were spoiled because the philosophies of this world pulled them away. God says, beware lest anything spoil you through the philosophy, which of course is the love of wisdom, the Hellenistic age in which Paul spoke of here, had much in the way of worldly philosophy that pulled people away. And they changed the truth of God into a lie. And then notice fourthly, this word rudiments. Notice that, the rudiments of this world. The rudimentary ideas and philosophies of this world. The philosophies that are the opposite of what the Holy Spirit teaches us. And verse 8 says, we're to beware lest any man spoil us through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. This world, rudimentally, this world in its rudiments is literally daily telling us to tolerate false teaching, to tolerate false doctrine, to tolerate things that the Bible teaches are not to be tolerated. And so the culture of the world many times pulls us away from being grounded in Christ. We have been warned of that culture. And then we have a choice. Notice this in verse 8. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So the choice you have is the culture of this world, the rudiments of this world, or following after Jesus Christ himself. Now, you listen to me this morning. Many churches have become expert at adapting man's traditions into the church. They have gone so crazy with contextualizing everything to the world's context that you can't even hear what the Bible's saying. You can't even know the difference between the world and the church. And what I want you to know is that we are committed here to following the biblical traditions that we have been given in the Word of God. The word tradition by itself is not acceptable in this day in which we live. The past, they say, is culturally passé, and Americans refuse to believe what a generation before us believed. And I understand that not everything from the 20s or 30s or the 50s even was good. But let me say this. Anything from previous generations that was biblical is good and needed today. And those traditions that we have derived from scriptures, like going to church and being honest and living pure lives and giving and being generous and being loving, all of those biblical traditions are as much needed today as they were back in the very first century. That's why we read in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye have received of us." And I want you to look in your notes at this quote by Ken and Barbara Hughes on the disciplines of a godly family. And just think about what they wrote as it pertains to choosing Christ. Why this disciplined emphasis on tradition and memory? Because of the rootlessness of today's culture. The contemporary world's post-Christian mindset, it's confusing pluralism, it's broken families, the high rate of divorces, the nomadic mobility of so many have produced a generation without memory or tradition. And frankly, this is where many Christian families are, especially if they've not come from Christian backgrounds. These Christians feel rootless, alien, and insecure. This is sufficient reason for every Christian family to take conscious and disciplined measures to cultivate tradition and memory. But there is an even more compelling reason. Namely, God's Word dramatically recommends that all believing families cultivate both spiritual memory and spiritual traditions to commemorate and celebrate God's goodness. You see, many families are drifting from the Scripture, drifting from a tradition of opening the Scripture, drifting from the concept of God and the moral teachings of God. So the culture of this world is preventing them from being rooted in Christ. Notice secondly and very quickly, there's a second pull away from rootedness, and that is the crowd of the ungodly. The crowd of the ungodly. Psalm 1:1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful." Now watch this very carefully, and let me illustrate it quickly. On one hand, you have the general drift of culture. You have culture itself, whether it's the social media, whether it's the concepts of tolerance at work, all of these things pulling us away from biblical norms. On the other hand, there will be specific individual friends of yours that when you get around them, that crowd, they prevent you from getting to God's house and being God's man or God's woman. And you must recognize whoever they are, and the Bible says you are not to walk in the counsel of someone that leads you away from Jesus Christ. And your sense of sin will be in direct proportion to your nearness to God. That is to say, the more you are under preaching like this, the more you read the Word of God, you get around some guy that all he does is tear down his wife, all he does is take God's name in vain, all he does is pull you away from the Lord. And because you have been so close to the Word of God and under sound Bible preaching, it's very obvious to you, that's not a good relationship for me. You get out of your devotions, you get out from under preaching, you get into some mamby-pamby type spiritual life, and you don't have enough discernment to know right and wrong, and you get right back in with the wrong crowd. And so it's very important we have the right friends. I heard about a farmer that took his shotgun out to shoot at a flock of pesky crows. Boy, he loaded that 12-gauge, and there they came over the fence, and they'd been bothering him. They'd been picking up trash and so forth. And the problem was that his neighbor had a very sociable parrot that day had taken flight with the crows. Boy, that old farmer, boom, boom, and some parrots fell out of the sky, some crows, but unfortunately that parrot fell out of the sky, and the farmer didn't see what he'd done until he got up close, and he saw that parrot there, still alive, but a badly broken wing and kind of all ruffled up, and he picked that parrot up, and his children said, "Daddy, what happened? What happened?" And his daddy said, "Bad company, kids." Kept bad company. Let me tell you something. Keep right company this year. Make sure that you're with the right crowd. Make sure that the wrong crowd isn't preventing you from getting rooted. We see the planting of spiritual roots rooted in Christ. The prevention of spiritual roots. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Notice thirdly with me this morning, the product of spiritual roots. What is the product of spiritual roots? Now, the product is going to be seen in the fruit of our lives. How many of you would agree with me by looking at these pine trees? Something right is going on down in the bucket. Talk to me. Right? Decent tree, something right's going on in the bucket. Pastor friend of mine called me the other day. He said, I just had the most aggravating appointment with a dear family in my church. And he said they brought their 16-year-old daughter into my office, and they made her sit down in the chair in front of my desk, and she sat there and she slouched in her desk, and they began to tell me everything that was wrong with her life and in some subtle ways try to act like it was the church's fault. And he said, I began to speak to the family and I began to talk to them about certain things. It was, number one, he said, the dad rarely came to church. Number two, the dad never read the Word of God. Number three, there was never any spiritual nurture or discipline in the home. There was no root system, he said, in the family structure. And I want you to understand something, that whenever there is a fruit problem, there's a root problem somewhere. We've been blessed at Lancaster Baptist. We have a wonderful youth staff, but we had a lot of wonderful moms and dads. And when you're doing good things at home, it's going to come forth in the lives of the kids. And we try to do good things here at the church. But whenever there is a fruit problem developing, all of us, parents, pastors, teachers, all of us have to go, individuals, what's going on in that bucket so that what's going on in the fruit isn't what it's supposed to be? The product of spiritual root should be then, letter A, spiritual fruit. That's what we're wanting this year. We want our lives to bring forth spiritual fruit. So look back at Psalm 1 for just a moment and look at verse 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, you're going to bring forth your fruit, spiritual fruit, his fruit, in his season. I don't know what your season is. I don't know how long we have on this earth to produce fruit. But how many of you would say, by the grace of God, I want to produce the fruits of righteousness and holiness and other souls being saved? I want to be fruitful during my season. I don't want my season to pass and I didn't bear fruit. So ultimately, because we're rooted in Christ, then Psalm 1 says we can bring forth our fruit in our season. And I want you to get the imagery that the psalmist is giving. He says, if you'll plant your life like a tree by the water, you'll never lack for sustenance. He said, I want your life to be a life that brings forth spiritual fruit. I want your tree to be the kind of tree that when people go by, they go, whoa, look at that tree. I mean, that's a you gotta be kidding kind of a tree. That's a let's take a picture of that tree. I mean, I don't know what that tree's rooted into, but something's going on. By the way, how many of you would like it if your children 6 months from now said, man, I don't know what's changed with dad, but he's a new man. Maybe it has something to do with that Bible reading going on in his life. How many of you think it'd be a wonderful thing if someone said, whoa, look at that couple that goes to Lancaster Baptist Church. They're so nice to each other. Their marriage is doing so. Whoa, I don't know what God says. I don't want you to be like another scrub brush on the side of the road. I want you to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I want there to be something awesome about the fruit in your life, you see. Spiritual fruit. And then notice it says consistent fruit. Psalm 1 and verse 3, his leaves shall not wither. His leaves shall not wither. Boy, sometimes you see a Christian, they flourish for a little while and then they just start to wither down. And what I want you to recognize is God wants us to bear consistently spiritual fruit. Now you can choose to be rooted and you will bear fruit. Or you can drift away from the water, and as I close, you will become like chaff. Now, we don't talk about chaff a lot, so let's close with Psalm 1, verse 4. Notice what it says. The ungodly, those would be unsaved, but perhaps saved, who have chosen to not be rooted, are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Let's say that word together, chaff. Ready? Chaff. Not really a great word, chaff, you know. No one names their kid chaff. No one wants to be like chaff. Chaff is the seed covering that really becomes the debris that you want to get rid of at harvest time. Chaff covers the seed. It gets all mixed up with the valuable stuff, but really, all a farmer wants to do at harvest is get rid of the chaff. He doesn't really want chaff. It doesn't taste really good. Probably tastes something like checkered wheat or shredded wheat. You eat it because you're supposed to for your cholesterol, but not. Look, let's just be honest. Trix taste a lot better than shredded wheat. Right? Give me sugar. No one says, give me some of that chaff cereal. I like that kind, boy. No. But the Bible says that the ungodly are like the chaff. Now, I have a chaff assistant today, Brother Hauk, if you'll come. Because a lot of these folks, they're city slickers, Brother Hauk. You can tell just by looking at them. And I'm trying to talk about chaff and wheat and trees and roots. And so Brother Hauk has today this year's harvest. And he's got the wheat. And you're wondering what this fan was up here for. Does it have a button, Brother Hauk? Can you find it? There it is. And so we're going to show you what they do at harvest time with the wheat and the chaff. All right, so go ahead, Farmer Rick. Here we go. There you go. A little more. Yeah, get it all over yourself. You're not a good farmer if you're clean. Good. A little higher so it's up in the wind. There you go. Excellent. Excellent. Hey, let's thank our farmer today for helping us with that. Now, let me tell you something, folks, just farming 101. You want to eat, what you want to eat is right here. You don't want, it's all right, Brother Howard. You don't want to eat this stuff here. No, nobody's like, oh, after church, I'm going to get up there and get me some of that chaff, boy. I like to chew it all day long. No one likes chaff. A lot of people appreciate the corn or the wheat. But the ungodly are like chaff. And you listen to me, sir. By the end of this year, some of you are going to be standing tall like this. Or your kids are going to want to be with you about as much as they want to eat shredded wheat. And I mean honestly, we're either going to be rooted and bearing spiritual fruit, or we're going to be like the chaff that just blows with the wind. Why is America in so much trouble today? Because even the people that call themselves Christians are tumbleweed, chaff type of people, just blowing in the wind. And I want to challenge you today. And I want you to think with me today. What would happen if every man in this room said, no more chaff? I'm tired of my life blowing in the wind, going nowhere, amounting to nothing. I'm going to get rooted in Christ. I'm not going to spend my time sitting and standing and walking around with scornful people and worthless activities. I'm done with chaff. It's time for me to get in the Word of God as never before. And I want you to imagine thousands of members of Lancaster Baptist Church every morning opening the Word of God, every morning jogging as they hear the Word of God, perhaps in their ears, every morning maybe driving to work, listening to the Scripture on tape as they drive to work, every morning perhaps getting something sent to them, which we'll speak to you about tonight, and gleaning from the Word of God and saying, no more chaff. I'm going to get rooted and grounded in Jesus this year. How about it? Today's the first day. How about it? This is the first week to be rooted and grounded in Christ, bearing spiritual fruit for the glory of God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we could open up the Bible and be challenged with a New Year's theme, rooted in Christ. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, right now that you'd help this church to be a church completely rooted in you.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying in this series, Rooted in Christ, how to develop a healthy and a strong root system through our relationship with the Lord and our study of His Word, how to become grounded and rooted and settled in our relationship with Him. Friend, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That relationship begins the moment you trust Him as Savior, the moment you place your faith in Him. And that happens when you call upon Him in belief and you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and save me from my sin and save me from myself and give me your gift of eternal life. Friend, if you've never made that decision, we encourage you to make that decision right now. It's simple, it's vital, it's the greatest decision you could ever make. And if you have questions, we'd love to talk with you more about it. We do love to hear from listeners, and we enjoy hearing your feedback and knowing that our program is touching your life. There's a couple ways you can get a hold of us. First of all, by toll-free phone number. That is 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. When you visit the website, you can click on the link to email us or get a hold of us. We would love to hear from you. You'll also find many resources that will help you in your spiritual growth and in your relationship with Christ. Many resources that will help you do exactly what we're talking about in our present series, to become rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chapel and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.